You are listening to ebuzz.com. Muhammad Rasulullah
alayhi salatullah. Illa man taba wa amana wa amila saliha fa ulaika yadkhuluna al-jannata wa la yudhlamuna shay'a. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم اللهم اجعل رزق آل محمد قوتا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers and elders, the ulama have essentially categorized worship into three categories. There is the physical forms of worship which is known as ibadat badaniya. There is the financial forms of worship which is known as ibadat maliya. And there is those forms of worship which is murakkab bayn al-mal wal-badan, that it enjoys a financial dimension as well as a physical angle, the example of Hajj. When a person embarks on Hajj, he is spending his wealth, and he himself has to be of sound health for him to embark on this journey. The examples of physical ibadat is fasting, performance of salah. Financial exclusive is zakat, where there is no physical effort, is just to discharge your wealth. And while I am speaking about this here, one ayah comes to mind, because Ramadan is an occasion generally where people discharge their zakat, and it is wonderful to obviously maximize your benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the qualities of the munafiq and the hypocrites in the Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ. Allah highlights three of their weaknesses. Woe be to those who perform salah in the following manner. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ, who are negligent about the performance of their salah. الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ, who perform little, and the greater part of what they do is to impress people. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ, and they withhold trivial generosity. They withhold simple kindness. If you look at the Arabic grammar of the word ma'un, it literally means a small act of kindness. It refers to the common courtesy that a neighbor would display to a fellow neighbor in the form of a glass of milk, an egg, a cotton needle, you know, just run across and get this and get that. The basic, simple, trivial kindness. But you find that most of the mufassirin say, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu and many others as well, that while the phrase has been used as ma'un, trivial kindness, it actually refers to zakat. Because zakat in essence is a very minimal portion of your entire wealth. So it's a very trivial act of generosity. It is in a great form, it doesn't constitute something great. Allah by His extreme kindness rewards a person immensely. But if you really look at what the contribution is, it's undoubtedly minimal. In Surah Kawthar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ. When a person by the name of As bin Wa'il had made the inflammatory comment and the derogatory remark about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he is abtar, which refers to an animal the tail of which has been severed, making reference to the fact that the male offspring of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had passed away, and hence there was no one for his, via whom his lineage could prosper. So this was the comments he had said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was obviously insulting. And it's important for us also, it is important for us to realize, unfortunately, some of us are very insensitive to the sensitivity of people. So someone would very casually say, oh, you're still not married. Is it in his control, my brother? Or you still don't have children? Now those comments are very painful, and those are not the comments of a believer. So he made this remark to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, oh, you have no male children. Because all the Prophet's male children passed away, and it was only his daughters. And commonly your lineage would prosper with your male children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consoled the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah said, ignore his comment. Inna a'atayna kal kawthar. See what I gave you, don't hear what he said. Don't hear what he said. Look at what I gave you. I gave you Kawthar. In Bahrul Muhit it is written, there's 26 different explanations of Kawthar. The common explanation is Khairun Kathir, good in abundance, which is a very encompassing definition. It's all embracing. because it could well include under that heading all the 26 other things. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ, perform salah and slaughter the animal. Nahar in Arabic actually refers to piercing, which we know is the correct way of the slaughtering of a camel, where it's not the common way of slaughtering, but rather a spear is sent through and Allah's name is taken, and upon that the animal is slaughtered. As the Quran speaks about it, وَالْبُدْنَ جَعَلْنَاهَا لَكُمْ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ لَكُمْ فِيهَا خَيْرٍ فَذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهَا صَوَافٍ. That line them up, take Allah's name. فَإِذَا وَجَبَتْ جُنُوبُهَا, when they fall onto their sides, that is how they have become halal, you take Allah's name with the spear. So Allah says, perform salah and sacrifice the animal. The scholars of tafsir say, the performance of salah is an indication to all physical forms of worship. And the sacrifice of animals is an indication to financial forms of worship. In essence, hold on to deen in its entirety, whether physical or financial. Many people today, you find, they're particular about the performance of physical forms of worship, but when it comes to finances, then they want to run their businesses as they feel and they don't take the input of Sharia. So they're particular about which surah to be recited in which rak'at, how to stand, how to bow, how to prostrate, etc. But how to conduct their business, this is where unfortunately they cannot digest and embrace. And this in essence was the downfall and the pitfall of the nation of Shu'aib. قَالُوا يَا شُعِيبُ أَصَلَاتُكَ تَأْمُرُكَ أَن نَتْرُكَ مَا يَعْبُدُ آبَاؤُنَا أَوْ أَن نَفْعَلَ فِي أَمْوَالِنَا مَا نَشَاءُ. Why does your religion restrict us in using our finances as we deem and we feel? Why do you withhold us when it's my money, you know? So Allah says, establish both forms of worship. Inna shani'aka hu al-abtar, and the one that said your tail is severed, your name will prosper, his name will be severed. I just did some research now and I found that the most common name in the world is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The most common name in the world is Muhammad. The Quran says, ma kana Muhammadun aba ahadin min rijalikum walakin rasulallahi wa khataman nabiyyin. He undoubtedly is not the biological father of any of yours. However, he is the Prophet of Allah and the seal of prophets. And obviously it is our pride and our honor and our privilege to name our children after the great name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is because of the same reason that ibadat, the greater portion of ibadat is physical. If we really look at it, financial is undoubtedly a portion of ibadat. But the greater form of our ibadat is physical. And it is because of that reason that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was very passionate about the well-being of his health. Because it's the vehicle through which Allah is obeyed. If there isn't a body and if there isn't health, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينَ, then such a person will be discharged in kafara. Such a person will not be able to observe the prayers. He will not be able to exert himself. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's fasting went into Sawmul Wisal, which is three consecutive days with uninterrupted iftars. So in other words, 72 hours. The Sahaba endeavored. He said, don't try. They said, innaka tuwasilu ya Rasulallah, but you do it. He said, I am different. Worshipping Allah itself nourishes me. Worshipping Allah is nourishment for me. And Sahaba endeavored, and obviously within 24 hours they could not continue. And this was again a speciality of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ideally latch on to the specialities of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which provide a degree of apparent concession, but we forget about the specialities where he exerted himself. Many scholars believe that tahajjud was obligatory and mandatory upon him throughout his life. It's a technical debate whether it was mandatory or optional, but suffice to say, he never left it out. Whether it was mandatory or optional, that's a technical debate, but the reality stands, he never omitted tahajjud. So yes, there were many other concessions for him, rightfully so. But there were also these commands where he fasted for days. So the Prophet ﷺ was very passionate about his health. And he approached it on two fronts. One is he supplicated Allah passionately that Allah keep my health intact. And number two, he complemented his supplication by a diet, by a lifestyle, by eating habits. And that gave him the strength to which he could exert himself and worship Allah. Our situation is rather tragic. We do not make dua for health. And if we make, not sufficient. Not to speak about our diets. Really not to go down that route. Those of us that are health conscious and health fanatics, unfortunately the motivating factor is to be trim, slim and prim. The motivating factor is not to obey Allah, and that defeats the essence. 50 push-ups and 40 sit-ups, but if you can't bow before Allah, you've lost it all, my brother. You really lost it all. The motivating factor, what did the Prophet ﷺ say? Allahumma kama razaqtani fima uhib. Allah, as you have endowed me with what I have asked you, faj'alhu quwwatan li fima tuhib. Let it stimulate me in doing what you want. You've given me the health, you've given me the wealth. Allah, let me generate it. Let me channel it in that which is pleasing to you. So my eye, if it doesn't see the right, I mean, Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Abd Rabbihi radiyallahu anhu, after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did he say? He said, Allah, these eyes were good to see your Nabi, he's gone. What am I going to do with this sight? Allah sees my vision. فَكُفَّ بَصَرُهُ. So that means the object of my vision, the sight, that Allah has favored me with, is meaningful. If I can see my Nabi, Allah, your Nabi is not here, what am I going to do? Seize my vision. Imagine this. And Allah seized his vision that the last sight was that of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just to give you a glimpse of his du'as, which is a manifestation of the passion he had for his health. The riwayat is in Nasa'i Sharif, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu ascends the pulpit, he cries. He says, Salullah al-afwa wal-afiyah. Ask Allah for forgiveness and good health. Because the Prophet ﷺ ascended the pulpit and he cried and he said the same thing. And this again was the uniqueness of Sahaba, that when they quoted something, they repeated it precisely. So he ascended the pulpit, he cried and he said the same thing. This was the love and the passion and the attachment that they had. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, فَإِنَّ أَحَدًا لَمْ يُعْطَى. None can be granted with a greater favor after trust in Allah than good health. There is nothing greater. مَنْ أَصْبَحَ مِنْكُمْ مُعَافًا مَنْ أَصْبَحَ مِنْكُمْ آمِنًا فِي سِرْبِهِ مُعَافًا فِي جَسَدِهِ عِنْدَهُ قُوتُ يَوْمِهِ فَكَأَنَّمَا حُيِّزَتْ لَهُ الدُّنْيَا بِحَذَافِيرِهَا أَيْ جُمِعَتْ لَهُ بِتَمَامِهَا. If you awaken sound in your health, with shelter above you, and food to take you across the day, the Prophet ﷺ said, consider yourself that the good of the whole world has been exclusively given to you. But Allah, you have awakened me in a manner that I have the health, that I've accepted I will be fasting. You have given me that health, that calmness, that patience, that understanding. You have given it to me, Allah. Consider yourself that you are the wealthiest person. That is why the poet said, مَا أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدٍ بِنِعْمَةٍ أَوْفَى مِنَ الْعَافِيَةِ وَكُلُّ مَنْ عُوفِيَ فِي جَسَدِهِ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ وَالْمَالُ حُلٌّ حَسَنٌ جَيِّدٌ عَلَى الْفَتَى لَكِنَّهُ عَارِيَةٌ مَا أَحْسَنَ الدُّنْيَا لَكِنَّهَا مَعَ حُسْنِهَا غَدَّارَةٌ فَانِيَةٌ. Allah hasn't favored someone with something greater than good health. And if you have good health, فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ, then you live in a blissful life. وَالْمَالُ حُلٌّ حَسَنٌ جَيِّدٌ عَلَى الْفَتَى. Wealth will enhance your beauty, but it is temporary. Beautiful indeed is this world, but with its beauty, it's deceptive. مَا أَحْسَنَ الدُّنْيَا لَكِنَّهَا مَعَ حُسْنِهَا غَدَّارَةٌ فَانِيَةٌ. It undoubtedly has a beauty and an attraction, but coupled with that, it has a deceptive nature. The Prophet ﷺ made the dua, اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَسْأَلُكَ الْعَافِيَةَ مِنْ كُلِّ بَلِيَّةٍ. Allah, I ask you safety against every misfortune. أَسْأَلُكَ دَوَامَ الْعَافِيَةِ. In one hadith he said, اللَّهُمَّ إِنَّا نَسْأَلُكَ فُجَاءَةَ الْخَيْرِ وَنَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ فُجَاءَةِ الشَّرِ. Allah, grant us unexpected good, but save us from unexpected evil. What a dua. Allah, grant us unexpected good. Allah, sudden good is welcomed. Allah, sudden evil is not welcomed. You know, it's just that you and I have not explored his du'as. It is so comprehensive and concise and encompassing that everything is included in it. Allahumma inna nas'aluka fuja'at al-khayr wa na'udhu bika min fuja'at al-shar. Save us from unexpected evil and grant us unexpected goods. If somebody pays you money, it's always the right time. And if somebody comes to collect, it's always the wrong time. End of the month, beginning of the month, middle of... Whenever you collect is the wrong time. Oh, you know, Wednesdays, you know, man. Jummah is a short day. Monday, you know, is a blue Monday. And if somebody comes to pay, you won't be, I was thinking of you today. So unexpected good is welcomed. Allahumma inna nas'aluka fuja'at al-khayr. Say ameen. May Allah grant us unexpected good. Life has become such, every time the phone rings, there's a panic that grabs the heart. If it's an odd hour, there's a fear, there's anxiety, there is this phobia. What? Why? Perhaps? Who? Then you, those around are reacting to the emotions of the man who holds the phone. You know, reading his facial expressions. That is our life. كم من عبد يرجو العطاء فيبدو له البلاء كم من عبد يرجو البشارة فتبدو له الخسارة. How many are anticipating good news and it's tragic? In fact, I often say that if you do not hear any bad news, consider that the best day. Leave alone hearing good news. If you haven't heard anything bad, that itself is good. If the day went relatively smooth, there was nothing positive, nothing negative. Alhamdulillah, it was a good day. So, Allah save us, grant me safety against every misfortune, grant me continuous good health. Wa as'aluka dawam al-afiyah wa as'aluka shukra al-afiyah. Give me the ability to be grateful to you for good health, Allah. Then he said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min at-taraddi wa a'udhu bika min al-gharaqi wal-haraqi. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ أَنْ أَمُوتَ لَدِيغَ. Allah, let me not collapse. Allah, let me not be buried beneath the debris of a building. Allah, let me not be bitten by a venomous animal. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الصَّمَمِ وَالْبَكَمِ وَالْجُنُونِ وَالْجُذَامِ وَسَيِّئِ الْأَسْقَامِ. Allah, save me from deafness. Save me from dumbness. Save me from leprosy. Save me from insanity. Allah, save me from all evil sicknesses. This is the du'as of our Nabi. Categoric, explicit, emphatic mention. Allah save me from this. Allah save me from this. Allah save me from this. Allah reminds us constantly in the Quran that He has the ability to seize our faculties. وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ ثُمَّ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ. Allah says, I created you and I grant you death. وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُتَوَفَّى وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْضَنِ الْعُمُرِ. Some I grant death in their early age. Some I return them. The word return, the phrase return, indicates that you were there before. And that is, Allah says, I return you to old age, where you lose your faculties. The eye is there, but the vision is lost. The ears are there, but they cannot function. The hands are there, but they're not able. And Allah reminds us, وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَطَمَسْنَا عَلَىٰ أَعْيُنِهِمْ. When you abuse your sight, Allah says, I can seize it. وَلَوْ نَشَاءُ لَمَسَخْنَاهُمْ. I can disfigure you. And if you consider disfiguring to be remote and unheard of, then Allah reminds you on a small scale it happens. وَمَنْ نُعَمِّرُهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ. Those who we age, we repeat childhood with them in their old age, which is also disfiguring them. This is what the Mufassirin write. رَبْتْ بَيْنَ الْآيَاتِ. The tie between the verses. This is a very intricate science of the Quran. To understand and comprehend what is the correlation between verses is perhaps one of the most intricate sciences of Quran. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is discussing something and Allah switches to another discussion. Now the scholars explore it and they explain a fine correlation and an intricate tie between this here. So the scholars explain the tie between these two. The rabt here is that Allah says, I can disfigure. And if you don't believe, then look at this man who was young, who was active, who was vibrant, who was talented. He is now old and aged, he's become a liability, he's become dependent. This is also disfiguring. Under all these verses in the tafsir, you will find the dua of the Prophet ﷺ, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min su'il umr. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min an uradda ila arda lil umr. Allah save me from that age. Allah save me from that age. Allah keep me while I'm alive, healthy and active, Allah. Allah don't seize my abilities. Don't snatch my faculties. One hadith comes to mind, it's in Tirmidhi. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came late for Fajr Salah. Unlike us, the Imams of today, Allah give me hidayat. If he came late, he overslept. I'm not talking of our Shaykh here. He's in Tahajjud. I'm talking of myself. Sahaba again patient. They didn't start pacing up and down. Nabi ne utayo. Our people are capable of saying that also. Sahaba patient. Patient. The Prophet ﷺ comes in, the riwayat of Tirmidhi. The iqamat was given. Thuwiba bis salah. Tajawwaza fi salatihi. The Prophet ﷺ performed a relatively short salah because obviously they were pressing for time. After salah, again here, something for us to learn. We both have to learn. The Prophet ﷺ obviously realized that his delay had created a degree of panic and concern, and it had aroused certain concerns. He said, عَلَى مَصَافِكُمْ هَذَا. Just remain seated. إِنِّي سَأُحَدِّثُكُمْ مَا حَبَسَنِي عَنْكُمُ الْغَدَاتِ. I'll tell you why I got delayed. I'll tell you why I got delayed. Again, Sahaba patient. Here we want to leave before the salam is over. إِنِّي قُمْتُ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. This hadith, Imam Tirmizi narrates it. And he says, سَأَلْتُ مُحَمَّد ابن إسماعيل. I asked Imam Bukhari about it, and Imam Bukhari confirmed its authenticity. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِنِّي قُمْتُ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. I stood up in salah, in the night. تَوَضَّأْتُ. I performed wudu. And then I engaged in salah, فَنَعَسْتُ فِي صَلَاتِي. And in my salah, I was overpowered by slumber and sleep. And in this sleep and the slumber of minds, in my salah, فَإِذَا أَنَا بِرَبِّي تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى فِي سُورَةٍ. Suddenly, I see my Allah in the best appearance. Now, like I said, I'm not pulling this out from anywhere. Imam Tirmidhi narrates it and Imam Bukhari sanctions it. But we're not reading hadith. We've seen this cartoon and we're reading this article. So we don't know these things. فَإِذَا أَنَا بِرَبِّي. إِذَا in Arabic is known as مُفَاجَة. To my utter surprise. You know, I say, wow. فَإِذَا أَنَا بِرَبِّي تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى فِي أَحْسَنِ سُورَةِ. I see my Allah in the best appearance. My Allah says, Ya Muhammad, صلى الله عليه وسلم, فيما يختسم الملأ الأعلى. What are the angels above you discussing? I said, Allah, I don't know. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, and obviously it's a topic of its own, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed his hand on me. We do not visualize a physical hand for the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَلَهُ يَدَانِ كَمَا يَقُولُ إِلَهُنَا وَيَمِينُهُ جَلَّتْ عَنِ الْأَيْمَانِ. My Allah has a hand, as he has said, but his hand is above my comprehension. وَلَهُ يَدَانِ كَمَا يَقُولُ إِلَهُنَا وَيَمِينُهُ جَلَّتْ عَنِ الْأَيْمَانِ كِلْتَا يَدَيْ رَبِّي يَمِينٌ وَصْفُهَا. Both the hands of my Allah are right. There is nothing like left. And it's not some, it's not physical. It's not physical, it's not tangible. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. We do not visualize it. But the words of the hadith is, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah placed his hands on me, and حَتَّى وَجَدْتُ بَرْدَ أَنَامِلِهِ بَيْنَ ثَدِيَيَّ. I felt the coolness of the hand of Allah on my chest and my bosom. فَتَجَلَّى لِي كُلُّ شَيْءٍ. It was that, and thereafter the heavens were opened up before me. Now I was seen into the heavens, literally everything. Allah then posed the same question, what are they discussing? I said, Allah, they're discussing the rewards you have kept for those that walk to the masajid. And they are discussing the rewards that you have kept for those that perform wudu. Then Allah told me, ask. So I asked. What did the Prophet ﷺ ask? So close, so intimate. Allah, my Fatima is getting married. Huh? Allah, my Aisha, please, Allah. Allah, my grandson. Maro I know, so Allah. No, no. Allahumma inni asaluka fi'la al-khayrat, wa tarka al-munkarat, wa hubba al-masakin, wa an taghfira li wa tarhamani. وَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ بِقَوْمٍ فِتْنَةً فَتَوَفَّنِي غَيْرَ مَفْتُونَ. Allah, I ask you the constant ability to perpetually obey you. Allah, I ask you the constant strength to abstain from sin. Allah, instill in my heart the love of the poor. Allah, if you decide to test your servants, then lift me away before you test them. People say, no, Imam Mahdi will come. Allah, take us before that. Is that an error to anticipate? While it's Imam Mahdi, is Dajjal not concurrently in that same era? Where do you know which party you'll fill in? Times are getting bleak. It's becoming more challenging. So anyway, khair, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah, wa'udhu bika min an amuta, save me from deafness, save me from dumbness, save me from leprosy, save me from all this. Then a dua of the Prophet ﷺ, Allahumma wama zawaita anni mimma uhib, faj'alhu li faragan fima tuhib. Allah, what you have granted me, let me channel it in your obedience. And what you have withheld from me, from the things that I crave for. I crave for a house, a car, whatever it is. I crave for this, but you have withheld it. If you had to grant it to me, it would have taken up my time and it would have occupied my heart. You have not granted it to me, which in essence means there is an opening in my time and there is place in my heart. I wanted another car and I wanted another house and maybe a number two. So if she came or they came or that came, it obviously took up time. It did not come. That means there's an opening. So Allah, this opening also, give me the ability to use it in your obedience. What you gave me also, what you didn't give me, let me put both into your obedience. Allahumma kama razaqtani fima uhib, faj'alhu li quwwatan fima tuhib. Allahumma wama zawaita anni mimma uhib, faj'alhu faragan li fima tuhib. Allah, you didn't give me this car. So now, one car I got Sunday, I'm washing it. If I had another car Saturday, I should be washing. So now at least my Saturday is open. Allah, let me use that Saturday in your ibadah. Just a glimpse at the pattern of the eating habits of the Prophet ﷺ to complement his dua. Again, let me remind you, don't lose focus. The stimulating factor is the obedience of Allah. If you go onto all diets and you take all precautions and you abstain from everything, but the motivating factor is not Allah's obedience, then it's good for your benefit. There are people that are going for surgery, and it's a norm before you go and you are operated on that you have to stay hungry for 12 hours. That's accepted before they do surgery. It might well be from dawn to dusk, but there's no reward for some in there. Because it's not done for the pleasure. It's not wrong. You must do it. Adhere to whatever the medical practitioner suggests. But what I'm saying, there's no angle of ihtisab. There is nothing of ibadat in it. You are doing it for your health, which might be good. The factor behind it is not to obey Allah. If the factor is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your abstinence from a meal will be reward. Your partaking of a meal will be reward. فَإِنَّ رَوْثَهُ وَبَوْلَهُ فِي مِيزَانِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ The Prophet ﷺ said, the horse on which you ride in the path of Allah, leave everything else, the stool and the urine will be on your scales of good deeds on the day of Qiyamah. The Prophet ﷺ emphatically uses, فَإِنَّ رَوْثَهُ وَبَوْلَهُ The pishab of that horse will come on your nami amal on the day of Qiyamah. Why? Because that horse you use for Allah's path. So you abstain not to be on gold weight, or to be slim or prim or have a figure or an impressive look, so that I can be... I remember one brother in America, I stayed by his place. Subhanallah, two things I learned from him in amongst many things. One is he was selling his house. So I stayed there. His two sons completed hifz there also. He put his house on the market. He says, you know, Maulana, I decided to myself, this house, you stayed here. My children did hifz here. I cannot afford this house going to someone where the silsila of Quran will not continue. I cannot imagine this house going to someone else where now other things would happen here, other practices would happen here. Allah be my witness, I'll settle for $20,000 less. But I want this house to go to a man where Quran continues. I said, Subhanallah, where are you going to get a person with this passion? That's the one thing. The second thing is, he had met up in an accident. So he had to undergo an operation. So, you know, some people, they say, yeah, you're going to operate, but from now onwards, you won't be able to make sajda. He says, then I will limp with my crippled leg whole life, but don't deny me bowing before Allah on the floor. I cannot afford that I don't put my head down. This is an honor. Obviously, if it comes to a person, with him taking the precautions, it's the will of Allah and Allah will reward him on his sickness. But to the best of our ability, one should live a life that, Ya Allah, till I die, let my head touch that ground and let me die making sajda Allah. I don't want to be denied the sajda Allah. This is my honor, this is my pride, Allah, that I can drop my head, Allah. If a person for health reasons is excused, obviously he's excused. But undoubtedly, to the best of his ability, there is the pride of a believer when that head goes down on the floor. That is the honor of a believer. So to live a life that, Ya Allah, keep me fit and able that I can make that sajda, Allah. Allah, I want to keep this fast. Allah, give me that health and that strength. You give me that courage. Urwa rahmatullah alayhi said, I asked Aisha radiallahu anha, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam live on? He was the nephew of Aisha radiallahu anha. Urwa bin Zubair, the brother of Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, the son of Zubair ibn al-Awam. He said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived on two things. Al-Aswadan, Al-Tamar wal-Ma, water and dates. Now, it can reflect the simplicity of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the spirituality. But it also speaks volumes on the nutrition of dates. It also tells us a lot, what is dates? The hukama have written, one date has the power and the strength to keep a person alive, just the bare minimum, for 24 hours. One date can keep a person alive for 24 hours. Jabir radiallahu anhu said, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yuftir ala rutubat. Fa in lam takun rutubat, fa tamarat. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَمَرَاتْ حَسَى حَسْوَاتٍ مِمَّا. He broke his fast with rutab. If there wasn't rutab, dates. If there wasn't dates, it was water. But this was the pattern, not coke and cigarette. I've actually seen people. Sari ending with cigarette. Iftar starting with cigarette. Or intake of extreme cold. Now when you're having extreme cold liquids at the time of iftar, you by your action are jeopardizing your soul for the next day. Because you are not disciplining yourself. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kana ya'kulu al-qitta bil-rutab. He ate rutab as well as cucumbers together. One having the effect of coolness, the other having the effect of heat. Striking an absolute balance. Look at how meticulous he was. Sayyidatina Maryam, the Virgin Mary, the miraculous birth of Isa, not the gynecologist around her, but Allah Himself. What are the provisions Allah makes? فَكُلِي وَهُزِّي إِلَيْكِ بِجِذْعِ النَّخْلَ تُسَاقِطَ عَلَيْكِ رُطَبًا جَنِيًّا. Allah is not giving us soup to drink. Eat rutab. And Allah causes a spring to come. Jibreel stands at a distance. She recognizes the voice of Jibreel. He strikes, tells her to strike a heel. Water gushes. Drink this water. Obviously, the body goes through. Now, imagine, this is the birth of a person. The riwayat of Mishkat, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when a child is born, the child cries, يَسْتَهِلُّ صَارِخًا مِّن مَسِّ الشَّيْطَانِ. Mishkat Jillawil, the hadith is there. The child cries because the devil comes and injects the child. You know, we think the doctors say it's healthy for the child to cry, develops the lungs, very good. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the child cries because the devil comes and influences the child. And the devil says, me and you, our enmity has started. You're born and there we are at loggerheads from now. This is where it starts. That's the inception and that's the reason the child is crying. Whatever medically they say, it will be. But this is what the hadith says. The Prophet ﷺ says, but there were two people that were exempted from the influence of the devil at the time of birth. One was Isa and one was his mother Maryam. Now imagine, Maryam giving birth to Isa. What a birth. No influence of the devil. Allah devotes a chapter in the Quran. And what Allah tells her to eat? Dates. Allah tells her to eat rutab. Allah tells her to drink water. The famous hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, Jabir radiallahu anhu said, Ba'athana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent us, Wa ammara alayna Aba Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. And he made Abu Ubaidah our Amir. Zawadna jiraban min tamar. We took a packet of dates. Fakana yu'atina tamaratan tamara. We were 300 in number. Abu Ubaidah used to give us one date a day. Now how nice if it would be our children come, but obviously we need to bring that in. Instead of giving them a candy and a toffee, give them one date. They're out in the path of Allah. They're 300 in number, the heat of Arabia. One date. And we used to drink water. and we used to pull the day comfortably from the morning till the night. فَتَكْفِينَا يَوْمَنَا إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. And he said, when the dates were exhausted, that's the time we realized what one date was doing. وَكُنَّا نَضْرِبُ بِعِصِيِّنَا الْخَبَثِ ثُمَّ نَبُلُّهُ بِالْمَاءِ. Then we used to strike our staffs on the trees. The leaves used to fall. We used to wet it in water and we used to eat leaves. وَانْتَلَقْنَا عَلَى سَاحِلِ الْبَحْرِ. We were walking. And then Allah causes this massive creature to come out of the water. تُدْعَى الْعَنْبَرِ. فَأَقَمْنَا عَلَيْهِ شَهْرًا وَنَحْنُ ثَلَاثُ مِئَةٍ. We ate off this fish for 1 month and we were 300 in number. Now medically we all know the benefits of fish. Starting off with dates, ending off with fish. What nutrition coming into the body? You're starting off with burger, ending off with chips. Then Allah forgive, burping from the front and the back. One person burped in front of Nabi Sassam. Nabi Sassam said, Ukfuf chusha'ak. Avoid burping here. Those that burp in front of us, they will be the most hungry people on the day of Qiyamah. أطول الناس جوعا in حيات الصحابة, the riwayat is there. Those that burp in front of us, they will be the most hungry people on the day of Qiyamah. The few times Allah gave me tawfiq to make Umrah, I made it a point and a passion, and if you have not taken this into cognizance, then I appeal you to look at this year, to make Umrah on a hungry stomach. That Umrah is unique. It's something else. I'm not saying be dehydrated. You must be hydrated. Have nutrition, drink. But not bloated. Not bloated. On a light tummy. Make that Umrah. There is something else in that Umrah. That lightness, that atmosphere, that feeling is something else. One of my scholars used to always tell us, he says that, yeah, you do this, you say it's sunnah, correct. To come home and not to eat and to sleep hungry is also sunnah. Have you ever thought of that? That sleep hungry. My Nabi slept hungry. That is also his sunnah. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Miqdam ibn Ma'di Karab radiallahu anhu narrated it. He said, مَا مَلَأَ آدْمِيٌ وِعَاءً شَرَّ مِّن بَطْنٍ. The human cannot fill any vessel worse than his belly. The human cannot fill any vessel worse than his belly. Once this is saturated, that is the beginning of both physical and spiritual problems. بِحَسْبِ ابْنِ آدَمْ أُكُلَاتْ يُقِمْنَ صُلْبَةً. Tell him few muscles are enough to keep his back alive. That's it. فَإِن كَانَ لَابُدَّ فَثُلُثٌ لِطَعَامِهِ وَثُلُثٌ لِشَرَابِهِ وَثُلُثٌ لِنَفَسِهِ. If he really wants to eat, then tell him a third for food, a third for drinks, and a third for air. Jalinus was a medical practitioner who opened up a practice in Medina. Wrong place. Medina, where people were disciplined. And yet there's a shortage of doctors. I mean, just look at how our life has become. You take this antibiotic, and the side effect of this here, you take this probiotic. So this obviously is going to be killing the good bacteria as well as the bad bacteria. This will be creating good bacteria. Oh, Jazakallah, what I owe you. He opened up a practice, 1 week, 1 month, nobody came. He called the people of Medina. He said, what's happening? They said, I just share with you one of the teachings of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he heard this hadith, he said, مَا تَرَكَ نَبِيُّكُمْ وَلَا كِتَابُكُمْ لِجَالِنُ اسْطِبَّةِ. Your Nabi's hadith has summarized all my medical expertise. Everything is in here. If you people love by this, I close my practice and leave. If you can abide by this, if you can bring discipline, لَا تَأْكُلُوا كَثِيرًا فَتَشْرَبُوا كَثِيرًا فَتَرْقُدُوا كَثِيرًا فَتَحَسَّرُوا عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ كَثِيرًا. The more you eat, the more you drink. The more you drink, the more you sleep. The more you sleep, the greater your regrets at the time of the moth. The greater your regrets. So bring discipline. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he eat? Now medically they tell you, all this, like I said, his dua, this was his eating habits. He said, he would take bread, he would dip it in vinegar, and he said, ni'mal idamu al-khallu, ni'mal idamu al-khallu. Oh, vinegar, there is no better gravy than vinegar. There's no better gravy. What he said? Al-khamru lahum kal-khalli lana, wal-khinziru lahum kashati lana. For them is alcohol, for us is vinegar. For them is pork, for us is sheep or mutton or goats. Some people would drink, would eat pork. We do not eat pork. Some would eat pork. We do not eat pork, the Prophet ﷺ said. We would eat sheep. We would eat goat. Some would drink wine, alcohol. We do not drink that. What do we drink? We drink vinegar. We use vinegar. Al-khamru lahum kal-khalli lana. Wal-khinziru lahum kal-shati lana. This was his eating habits. Alaykum bishifa'ain, al-asl wal-Qur'an. Two forms of cure. Hold on my Qur'an and drink honey. Hold on to my Qur'an and drink honey. That is the best cure. As far as the drinking habits and the etiquettes of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, do not drink in one gulp. The Prophet ﷺ used to drink in three intervals. Innahu amra wa abra wa arwa. He said, it's more wholesome, it's more thirst quenching, and it's more healthy. Now see the medical, Tibbe Nabawi, and you see all the medical benefits of drinking like this here. The harms of standing and drinking, the benefits of sitting and drinking. So what I'm saying is, there was this dua, this passion, Ya Allah, preserve my health. Then there was a disciplined eating habit. There was a life. Whenever he ate food, Allahumma barik lana fihi wa at'imna khayran min. Allah bless us and give us more and better. But when he drank milk, he said, Allah bless us and give us more of the same, because there's nothing better than milk. That is why Aisha radiallahu anha said, he lived on dates and water. Illa annahu kanat li rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam jiranun min al-ansar. Wa kanat lahum manaih. فَيُرْسِلُونَ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَلْبَانِهَا فَيَسْقِينَ. The neighbors had some camels. Occasionally they would milk the camels. The milk would come, he would give us milk. So averagely dates and water, occasionally it was milk. Now that is what we ate. Ours is averagely burgers, occasionally pizzas. So this was the life, and these were the eating habits of the Prophet ﷺ. Just to end off, regarding the oral hygiene of the Prophet ﷺ, Amir ibn Rabi'ah said, Ra'aytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yastaku ma la uhsi wa huwa sa'im. I seen him using miswak while fasting so many times that I started counting. In the end, I lost track of how many times he used miswak. La khalufu fami sa'im atyabu indallah. Allah loved that smell. The scholars explained that smell is as a result of the emptiness of the bowl, because of the emptiness of the belly. And that is not to do with the mouth. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passionately made miswak. And that will not affect that smell which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That would remain, because that results as the emptiness of the belly. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha radiallahu anha said, إِذَا قَامَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ يَشُو سُفَاهُ بِالسِّوَاكِ. When he got up, the first thing he did was miswak. إِذَا دَخَلَ بَيْتَهُ بَدَأَ بِالسِّوَاكِ. He entered the house, miswak. Anything and everything, he was conscious about his oral hygiene. أَنَا رَجُلٌ أُنَاجِي رَبِّي. How much care do we take about this? And then to speak about the exercises of the Prophet ﷺ, and I sum it up with that. The Prophet ﷺ, we know about horse riding, how beneficial it is, and how much it stimulates. You know, I was coming back once from Amsterdam, flying back to South Africa. So I went in the rear of the plane to perform my salah. So I seen a gentleman there. So I asked him if he could just excuse himself. I performed my salah. Then we started chatting. So I seen he was dressed in a uniform, not a cabin crew uniform, but he had a different uniform. So I asked him, what are you? He said, I'm an animal attendant. I said, what are you doing on board? He said, we got four horses here on board. Now he talked of the flying horse, the Burraq. I said, what do you mean? You kidding? He said, we've got four horses in the cabin. I said, and can I see it? He says, yes. So he takes me to the back. And we go to the back of the plane, and literally I see four horses. I said, Subhanallah, what intelligence Allah has given man. There was a gentleman in the business class. He was flying those horses from New York to South Africa. These horses were used for disabled children to stimulate them as forms of therapy. I was amazed. Absolutely mind-boggling. I mean, looking at these horses, looking at stable, there's hay, you look outside you, 33,000 feet above sea level. Ya Allah, where are we off to? From where to where in the center of nowhere? He said, I just got to pacify them on takeoff and on landing, because obviously, you know, it's the animals get a bit... So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was some sound in Medina, mounted onto his horse, galloped it, came back. He said, Inna wajadnahu la bahra. This thing moves like a motor. We found it very, very swift. He rode on his horse. Tafa ala nisa'ihi fi laylatin wahida. Consummated with nine spouses in one night, satisfying them all. Now you know what strength. I won't mention anything else. فَاغْتَسَلَ عِنْدَ كُلِّ امْرَأَةٍ مِّنْهُنَّ غُسْلًا. Shared the bed with every spouse, made a fresh ghusl, shared the bed with the other spouse. 9 spouses, 9 ghusls in one night. In the journey of Hajjatul Wada. You're lazy to make one ghusl at the time of Fajr. And then also shower. So simple. These were the life, the habits, the pattern of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve our health for us. Preserve our faculties for us. Just as there are spiritual, there are physical causes, I mentioned there are spiritual as well. Imam Ismail said, رَأَيْتُ أَعْرَبِيًّا بَلَغَ عُمْرُهُ 120 سَنَةً. I met a villager, he was 120 of age. I asked him, مَا أَتْوَلَ عُمْرِكَ. SubhanAllah, what an age, man. What's the secret? He said, تَرَكْتُ الْحَسَدَ فَبَقِيتُ. My heart doesn't envy or have jealousy for anyone. Because of that, I enjoy divine health. I don't get sick. Jealousy brings negativity, it brings depression, brings sicknesses, creates ulcers. I mean, medically it has been proven that if two people undergo the same operation, one has a faith and the other one doesn't have any faith. The healing process of the former is faster than that of the latter. In the very same way, if a person's heart is clean, he's easy, he's happy-go-lucky, there's nothing stressing him out. He's not worried who's making how much. It's not depressing him. He says, because of that Allah gave me divine health. The problem is we jealous for too many people. We don't take care of our health. Those of us that do take care, the motivating factor is not to obey Allah. May Allah preserve our health for us. Give us the ability to live a disciplined life. And most importantly, to channel that health and that wealth in His obedience.